Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is in you, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Lord, we pray as we come to this familiar passage today that you would speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls, that you'd minister to us, that it would be encouraging to us, and it would be a powerful word from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Well, it is Christmas in May. We are, of course, all very familiar with this passage, and every Christmas we read this and study these texts and review them leading up to the time surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. But I want to look at it today from the aspect of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, the physical mother of Jesus. It tells us that she was pregnant. She was told she would be pregnant with child. And the first thing we notice is that she was a woman of purity. It says that she was a virgin. And she was from Nazareth. Now, it's an interesting thing. You say, well, why does Nazareth have anything to do with it? Well, you remember that Nathanael, when he came and he met Jesus and found out he was a Nazarene, he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And, you know, you wonder, why would he say that? But when you look into the history somewhat of Nazareth, those in Jerusalem disdained Nazareth so much that because of all the brothels and the houses of ill repute, and it was kind of a hick town. It was kind of this dumpy sort of a place. And, you know, we could all think of a city, and you could say, could any good thing come from, and fill in the blank, of some city that you know of that's a city of ill repute or something? But I'm not going to say the city because I've done that. I've made that mistake before. And then I've had the person at church come to me and say, "I'm from that city, and don't put down my city." So you fill in the blank, and then you get in trouble. I'm going to stay out of trouble today if I can. But the point is that she remained pure as a young woman, even though she was in a place that was not so good, that was not so pure. You know, our environment does not dictate our morality. I think that's an important word for today, because there is such a lack of moral fiber in today's world, is there not? And it's a surprise today, actually, when a young person maintains their virginity past their teen years. That is the uncommon thing. It is more common. In fact, the average young person loses their virginity, boys at 16, girls at 17 years old. And so I believe that's one of the reasons that so many don't get married in younger years, because why get married when you can just live together and just be with someone? You don't have to get married to have relations. And these things are just kind of the way it is. And Mary was a young woman who remained pure, who stayed pure. I mean, we don't know how old she was. People say 14, 15, she could be 16, she could have been 18. We don't know for sure. But we know that she was a young woman, a young virgin, when the angel came to her. And we know also, according to Isaiah, that this was a sign. It says a virgin, that there will be a sign, a virgin will be with child and bear a child. And that's the sign, is that it was a virgin. Like, there's no sign to a baby coming. I mean, to a woman being pregnant, that's not a sign. That's just women get pregnant. You look around here, we've got a lot of pregnant ladies here. There's a few of them very close to ripe, about ready to, I know one, Colin's wife is overdue, and she's walking around going, I need to have this baby right now, kind of. But she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. So here's Mary and Joe. And basically, they were betrothed probably as little kids. Even she may have been 5 years old when her parents made an agreement. Arranged marriages. For some reason, they thought young people did not know how to make their own decisions in those days. They needed parents to help them. Imagine that. But you were engaged like all that time, and then the year before you got married, you became betrothed. And so this was this period they were in, and that was the period before they would come together in the marriage. And here's Mary. And she has an angel appear to her and say, "Rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you." So the first thing we note here that the angel says is that you're highly favored, Mary. You are someone who is thought of by God. And, you think, what is this talking about when she says she's highly favored? This word is the word that we use also for grace. It is the grace of God being upon her life. She lived her life under the hand of God's grace because it says the Lord was with her. The Lord was present with her. Alongside her is the idea. It's kind of like how the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and he's there with us. The Lord was with her, and because of that, she's highly favored. You see, she's not highly favored because she's sinless, as many of us were taught in our upbringings. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't the queen of heaven. But Mary was highly favored. She was highly favored because God's grace was upon her life. The grace of God is really where it's at, you guys. I mean, this is what Christianity is all about, forgiveness and grace. Real Christianity has to do with being forgiven of our sins. It's not about some religious system or how good we can be or trying to prove ourselves. You can't be good enough for God. It's impossible. But you can receive the grace of God. You can have your sins forgiven you. And that's what Mary did. She was a woman who was highly favored by God because she had her sins forgiven, because she lived her life in that way. She had the Spirit of God in her life. God was with her. Do you know, one of my favorite sections of Scripture talks about this very thing. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. You don't need to turn there. I'll just quote it to you. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us," and here's the word, "highly favored, accepted in the beloved." We're accepted. That's what it means to be highly favored. God has accepted us. And if you know the Lord, you're accepted. And this is the word we have. We are accepted as Mary was, highly favored. We're children of God. We are favored. Mary was highly favored. She was under God's grace. She had the grace of God in her life. Moms, you need God's grace. You absolutely, if you got one kid, you need God's grace. If you got two kids, you need mega grace. You got three kids, add grace. Number four, name them Grace. I mean, just keep going, as long as it's a girl. Grace. We need God's grace. But not only was she highly favored and had God's grace in her life, but she also was blessed among women. She was uniquely blessed among all women. The angel told her that. But not only did the angel tell her that, but listen to what Elizabeth said to her in verse 42. When she goes and visits Elizabeth, her cousin, she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And she then says, "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" How did she know that it was the mother of her Lord? Because she also was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she has this fellow inside her named John the Baptist. And he had a little fire in him, this kid. Because when Jesus shows up on the scene, well, you know, I remember when my wife was pregnant the first time, and this is 40 years ago, right? And so I remember when I put my hand on her belly and I felt that baby move for the first time. And I felt this thing. I was like, whoa. Now, I'm feeling this from the outside. I'm thinking, what's she got to be feeling on the inside? We men, we don't get that experience, that blessing. But imagine Elizabeth. She didn't just have the baby move. She had a hallelujah dance going on inside her. She had this kid stand up and jumping up and down. And here's Jesus. And they're getting all excited. And this is John the Baptist. I mean, this is the guy who talked about repentance and fire, you know. He's the one who said, "Brood of vipers," you know, kind of deal. And then she says to her, who John, who's so excited, the babe leaped in the womb. She says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her." We're going to talk about this in a little bit, but she's also blessed because of her faith. She's blessed among women. She's most unique. She is the most unique woman, really, in many ways, the most unique mother in all the Bible. And I'm just really praying about, like, I wanted to do a Mother's Day message, and I'm like, well, who would I do it on? There's all these great mothers in the Bible. And, you know, you could do it on all the ones we saw on the video. There's all those examples of mothers. But I couldn't think of a better mother to talk about than the mother of our Lord, the mother of the redeemed. And she's blessed because she believed. And then it's interesting because the angel, when he said this to her, he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. You're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus." And you know, so here he says to this, whatever, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old girl, says to her, "You're going to have a baby." Now, that can be really great news in the right environment, right? I mean, it can be difficult news in the wrong situation. But in this situation, it's really shocking news. I mean, you're going to have a baby. His name's going to be called Jehovah is Salvation, a common name. And he's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. And he'll reign forever over the house of Jacob. Now, she's blessed. She's highly favored. But life is going to get hard for her. This is a great call by God that God is putting on her life, but with a great call comes great cost. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" So she questions the angel. Now, we know Zacharias questioned the angel too. And Zacharias went dumb for 9 months when he questioned the angel. You know, he couldn't speak for 9 months with a woman who was in her latter years, pregnant for 9 months. He's walking around not able to answer her. A lot of men don't answer, but he didn't have a choice. But this question was not a question of doubt. This was more a question of like, I'm a virgin, the conventional way. This doesn't make sense to me, is really what Mary was saying. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit, look at verse 35 with me again, because this is a really powerful point. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Wow. You know, we take those words for granted, but can you imagine when Mary heard those words for the very first time? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. What was going on in her head? She knew the prophecies. They knew what would come to pass. But this is coming to pass. This is me. She's going to be thinking, this is going to be about somebody else. I mean, I'm sure it was something that every young woman, young virgin at this point, thought about and wanted, in a sense. But the news of being pregnant is shocking enough. The news of being pregnant under normal circumstances, but this is crazy circumstances. Let me get this straight, angel. I'm going to be pregnant. It'll be of the Holy Spirit. We're going to call him the Son of God. His name will be Jesus. Notice the angel doesn't refer to him as the Son of Mary. See, the heavenly perspective is that he's the Son of God. And then he tells her about Elizabeth. And then he says in verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. That might be a word for somebody today. You might be facing an impossible situation. With God, nothing will be impossible. It's possible for two old people to have a child, Elizabeth and Zechariah. It's possible for a virgin to have a child. And if those things are possible, nothing is impossible. Amen. And so, this is where it really we see, you know, we know that Mary was favored. She was a woman who was blessed. She was a virgin. She was these things. But she's one more thing that's so important. It says, behold, she says in verse 38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I'm sorry too. Let me read that verse again because I think it's an important verse. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Key verse. She is a willing vessel of God. Her willingness to be a vessel, to be used by God for his purposes. What are God's purposes in your life? And this is, I think, for everyone in here. It's not just for moms. This is for everyone. God's sovereign will over our life. Because there could be some, and probably are some in this room, where you're sad today because of some circumstance surrounding your life. Maybe you wanted to be a mom all your life, and you're not a mom yet, and your clock is ticking. Maybe you had a rough relationship with your mom. Maybe you're like me, my mom has passed, my wife's mom has passed. You know, you're missing your mom. And these things become hard. Let's face, life is hard at times. And no matter what situation you may be facing, maybe you're a mom who's estranged from your kids. There, no matter what situation you may be facing, if we can get this, be it done to me according to your will, Lord. If we can settle ourselves in God's will, and just be in that place where we're like Mary in this way. She says, behold, a maidservant of the Lord. That word maidservant is the female of doulos. It's the idea of a slave by choice for life. Be it done unto me according to your will. Your will be done, Lord. She had been, all her life, she had been preparing for this moment, not even knowing it. And yet she would have a stigma connected to her for the rest of her life. She'd have other children. Mary had other children. Joseph and Mary had children together. Jesus had brothers. We know that according to the scripture. But yet, telling Joseph even, imagine at this point, Mary gets this word, she's got to tell Joseph, what would his reaction be? Who did it? Her answer, God did it. Right. Sure. You kidding? He didn't believe her. He was ready to divorce her, the Bible tells us, ready to put her away quietly until he had a revelation from an angel. It took an angelic revelation for Joseph to accept her. All their lives, even in their marriage, you know, that might have come up later. You know, you didn't believe me the first time. She's about to be married. Her parents. Can you imagine the conversation at the dinner table? Mom, Dad, I've got something to tell you. That's a tough conversation. I've had that conversation before I was married, not under these circumstances, but imagine that conversation. Imagine the names that Jesus would be called. They said to him, they said of him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. But she was a willing vessel in all those circumstances. The role of motherhood is the role of a willing vessel. And Mary's unique in this sense, but there's got to be a willingness to face the struggles, the willingness to face the wonder of it all, which is wonderful, but the struggles of life and the struggles of life with children. When you have children, you have to lay down your life. You have no choice. They're going to make you lay down your life. It's a daily laying down your life with kids. Motherhood is servanthood to a very great degree. And Mary was willing to allow her life to be used by God to serve the Savior, to serve her God. A great calling, and she fulfilled it well. All of us today need to let God use our life, but a special word to you moms today, let God use your life. Allow him to use your life. Look at your role as one as being used by God to nurture the children or the child that God has given you. And even if you're older, like we are, and we've got adult children, look at your life as an opportunity to speak into the lives and still minister to your adult children when they'll let you. They don't always want you to, but you try. We try. We try to minister to them. We try to still be here for them and be available to help them as they are walking through life. Hopefully keep them from making some of the same foolish mistakes we made. Mary was a woman of purity. She was a woman who was favored and blessed. She was a willing vessel. But I also notice in the rest of this story how Mary received great encouragement from her cousin Elizabeth. And listen, moms, some of you moms today, you might just need some encouragement. Because she went to visit Elizabeth, you know, her cousin. And when she saw her, she said, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then why has God granted that you would come to me? And then she said in verse 44, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment for those which were told of her. She got encouragement in her faith. This is the other thing that Mary did. Mary believed God. This cannot be underestimated. She believed that God had really spoken to her. Faith was a key in her life. And faith, coupled with grace, will give you a life worth living. It's such an essential point for all of us that we need faith to walk with God. It seems very academic, but it's really very true. She is blessed to be used by God. She's blessed among women. She's the most unique woman, but she is in this place because she believed in God. She believed that God is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do. That's what real faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. It's seeing that God will work and having trust that he's in control of all things. She believed. Now, just because she believed and just because she had favor and just because she was blessed doesn't mean it was all rosy, does it? Her life was not all rosy. The favor she received in the birthing of Christ, she'd later bear in her as she was facing those things later on. You remember that when Jesus was 12 years old, she almost lost the Messiah. You remember that story? Jesus was in Jerusalem, they were there, and she's in Jerusalem, and they leave, the whole caravan leaves, and they're traveling along the road, and at some point, you can imagine the conversation, you know, Mary said to Joseph, "Have you seen your son?" You know, whenever a kid's missing, he's always your son. "Have you seen him?" And, you know, Joseph, of course, answered like any, you know, and she said, "Well, where is Jesus? Where is he?" And Joseph answered just like any husband would answer. "I don't know." And then she's probably like, "Great. God gives us the privilege of having the Messiah, and now we've lost the Messiah. What are we going to do about this? We get all this trouble, the angel, the whole thing. Remember the story, Joseph? Look what we've done." But remember when she found him, she goes to the temple and she says, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." You know what I mean? There's some anxiety going on here. She's like, if you've ever had this happen with one of your kids, I mean, when our kids were, I remember one of the kids, we lost a kid in the store somewhere, you know. They get in those clothes things and you can't find them, you know. This must have been so humbling to hear what Jesus said. "Why do you seek me? Didn't you know I'd be about my father's business?" Imagine how humbling that was, 12-year-old. If you ever had your 12-year-old, like, stick it back at you. I've had this happen with my kids where I made a mistake, and my own kid, when they were, like, in their teen years, said, "That's not fair, Dad." "What did you say? You can't be talking to me." But then you realize they're right, and you're humbled. And that's what's happening to Mary here. She's realizing she's being humbled. And it happens again at the wedding at Cana. They're at the wedding. They're running out of wine. Mary goes to Jesus. "Hey, they're running out of wine." What does he say to her? "Woman, it's not yet my time." Oh, boy, I've done it again. Mary probably thought, "What do I do now?" And I wonder if she didn't turn to those servants out of sort of desperation, just kind of saying, "Just do whatever he tells you. Just, I don't know what to do at this point, so whatever he says to do, do it." And Jesus looked at Mary probably with some pity and thought, "I'll help you out." And we know that the wine was brought on. By the way, it's a great motto to follow. You know, people say they want to follow Mary. Well, do whatever Mary says. You know what Mary said? Do whatever Jesus says. So if you want to really get into Mary, just follow what she said about Jesus. But then you might remember also the story of the mother and the brothers, where they all come, the multitudes are there, and they're all surrounding, and they come in and they say, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. They want to talk to you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, who is my mother and my brothers but those who do the will of my Father? It seems as though, it almost seems disrespectful that Jesus did this. He wasn't, I'm sure, disrespectful. But he's putting the priority on the fact that, you know, he is there for all people. And in the natural, Mary had no advantage, in a sense, over any of us. And then she faces the most difficult point in her life, no doubt, when she watches her son, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior, and he does what he has to do, what he came to do. And she said, even when he was born, that it would pierce, she was told it would pierce her own soul. She knew it was coming somehow. Maybe hoping against hope that it would not really happen. But she stood there and she watched as Jesus was brutally put to death. And she stood at the foot of that cross and looked up at her son, the Savior. And she saw. And Jesus looked down at her. And he said something so incredibly wonderful that ties in Mother's Day in such a wonderful way. He looked at John, who was standing right next to her, the only of the disciples that showed up at the cross. And he said, "Woman, behold your son." And then he looked at John and he said, "John, behold your mother." The family of God is bigger than even any other family there is. And again, maybe you have a struggle in your family. Like, we all have dysfunctional families, right? Like, we all have sinning parents, number one. We all have... I mean, I don't know anybody whose family really has it together. I have had families that I've known that seemingly had it together on the outside, and then you get on the inside and you find out they're a mess just like everybody else. Right? But when he was saying, "Behold your mother, behold your son," he was saying, look, there's something going on here unique in Christianity. If you don't have a mom around, you've got moms around. Seek out that spiritual mother. Let God minister to you through her. If you are an older mom and don't have kids around, seek out that spiritual daughter and let you minister to them and they minister to you. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And at the end, ultimately, this whole story is about God being glorified. That's the thread through the verses. The beginning with the angel, Elizabeth, and then with what we know to be called the Magnificat, Mary says these words. She says, behold, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. And here we are today, 2019, and we are calling Mary blessed. Amen. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. You see, it's all about pointing it back to him. Jesus Christ, giving glory to God. Giving glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because ultimately, motherhood was created by God. God is the one who made mothers. And there's a nature of God that is a mother. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Chris. I thought God was God the Father, not God the Mother. Yes, that's true. In the book of Isaiah, though, listen to this. It says in Isaiah 66:13, I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. God knows the nature of motherhood. He created it. It came from him. Mothers are very special. There's no one who has more hopes and more dreams and more ambitions, more love for children than a mother does. But God also has that mothering instinct for each and every one of us. So, conclusion and application today on this Mother's Day. If you need comfort from God, know that he will comfort you like a mother comforts you. If you are a mom here today, be encouraged. Be encouraged by the word of God that you are favored and blessed if you know him. It's hard, but you are favored by God. You are accepted in the beloved. Mary wasn't perfect. There are no perfect moms. But she was the perfect vessel to carry Jesus Christ. And you're not perfect mom in here, there isn't one, but you were the chosen for your children. If you're one who longed to be a mom, I pray that God blesses you in his timing. If he never does, I pray that you find the comfort in him and in others. If you're in that place like my wife and I, where our moms have gone to heaven now, may the Lord give us all comfort in that we need. Let's be thankful for the times that God gave us. If you've had a rough time in life and your mom mistreated you, turn to your Father God, for he created motherhood and fully understands your pain. If you don't know Jesus yet today, if you've not yet come to that place where you've seen him as your Savior and Lord, who died for you and rose from the dead, who was born of that virgin girl, Mary, who lived a sinless life, who went to that cross for you and for me, and on the third day, we all know what he did. We celebrated that just a few weeks ago. He rose from the grave. If you don't know him yet, if you don't understand his grace yet, please let today be the day that you come into the grace of God. Let his grace save you. Put your faith in him, your trust in him. In Jesus' name, let's pray.